Thank you for asking me to be in service today. It's such an honor. I mean, you guys hear me every day, and once a year, I have this service honor of sharing a little bit longer and sharing my story, my experience, strength, and hope. And I'm a little nervous today. You guys have all become part of such a familiar part of my life, like a family, you know, and it's become really intimate here. And I'm already so grateful because in the pre-meeting, we were laughing our heads off about our silliness. And it's just that intimacy, I'm so grateful for. You know, it can really shift me. And I came on really nervous, but when I can laugh and when I can laugh about myself, and it just shows that I'm in good hands and I'm with friends here. And so I start off this talk with talking about gratitude. And I was really reflecting. I'm like, I have really nothing new to say. And most of the stuff I say, I've stolen or taken bits and bobs from whatever I read or whatever I hear in these groups or whatever my sponsor says. So nothing is uniquely new or, you know, new, probably new for you guys. So I'm just going to hand it all over and I'm going to ask my higher power to come in and to help me just let this be my higher power's will. And for whomever who needs to hear this, may they be blessed. So I'm Lucia. I'm a compulsive overeater. And most of you guys know probably my story. As I said, I share almost every day on this meeting, so nothing much has changed. But one of my first memories of how I qualify for this program was when I was about 9 years old and I was home. I lived in Canada for 23 of my 46 years, and I was in the kitchen with my mom and my sister, who was suffering from bulimia. She came downstairs and she had put me on a diet. And it was day one of the diet, and I was nine. Already in day one, I couldn't do it, which is kind of hilarious. But I mean, what 9-year-old can? And I can laugh about it now because I've done the work in this program. I took that whole situation, I ran it through the fourth step, you know, and God has lifted it from me so that 4 years later, I can chuckle and I can have so much compassion for that 9-year-old because they told me, and I remember fitting into. I have two sisters, and my one sister, her nickname was called Toothpick because she was so skinny and she was thin and she's gorgeous and blah, 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 blah. But I fit in her dress when I was seven. And then my other memory jumps to nine, where I've been put on a diet. So something was starting to happen even before that day that I was put on a diet that I just couldn't do it. And there was something in me that had this disease. It was already starting. I don't remember consciously at what age, but I was already not able to, quote unquote, deal with the emotions of being in this lifetime. You know, I found a lot of things uncomfortable. I lived in a family where there was constant fear. There was fear about being verbally abused, physically abused. And I used food like it was my everything. It was my lover. It was my boyfriend. It was my comfort. It was my way out. And as I grew, I was really reflecting because I knew this talk was coming. I was like, I have nothing to say really that I haven't already said. And then I'm always humbly reminded this is just about experience, strength, and hope. And I started to see that as I started to grow up and I started to add on more physical weight, I started to see that physical weight as a product of what I now know are my character defects. And I've heard a lot of in this room about people having a problem with that word, you know. And I just think character defects is information. That when I started to get to know my character defects, I started to realize that it's just information about the pattern of what I've had to use to survive. So what I started to realize was that I was growing up, I was becoming more isolated, even though I have like a really outgoing kind of personality. It's kind of always been a skill that I've had, but inside, I've never felt good enough. I've never felt like you're gonna like me enough. I've never felt smart enough. I've never felt skinny enough. I've never felt beautiful enough. Like, you're starting to get the picture, right? And I would always blame it on the fact that my waistline was the central focus of my entire value system. So I've had to learn that that's how it was, that how it is still sometimes, at least the feelings come up. Now I know what to do with those feelings, thank God. But I started to realize, how do I put this into words other than to just say that, like, what's important in life? What is the superficial and what is the real value system of my life? And I think that that's the greatest 180 that this program has given me. After 4 years of this recovery, it's starting to dawn on me what's important in life and who I intrinsically am and what that truly means. But if I go back to that teenager who was isolating, never really wanted to show up, never really wanted to be seen, I started to see it. I was like, oh, so I've had this pattern. I've had these character defects my entire life, but I've never had them really consciously. So I started to see this picture of like armor, and I started to see all these pieces of armor on my body. Not only the physical armor of like gaining the weight in order to, you know, protect myself. I thought if I was ugly, then nobody would, you know, have a chance to look at me. But all this armor, and I started to realize that, you know, I started to burn out, like as an adult. I started to not be able to literally physically carry that weight anymore with me. And I'm talking about the armor weight, like this heaviness that was clogging up my entire life. And so I hit the wall many times, and I've burned out, and I've had to take time out of life. And I've tried OA. I tried OA when I was 18 years old in Canada. And I remember walking into the rooms, and there were such lovely, lovely people. And this woman was sharing her story. And I just remember thinking, she is speaking a foreign language. Like, I got nothing. I knew that it was the answer. I got that from like the second I was there. I was like, this is where I need to be. And yet I couldn't stay. I couldn't understand. I couldn't stay. And I left. And I did that 3 times before I fast forward to my true rock bottom, at least for now in this recovery, was January 11th, 2022. And I was 42 years old, and I was carrying this armor, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't have that next Monday morning, I'm going to start another diet. Like, I tried in all of these relapses I had, I just went back to my behavior, because I didn't know how to like hand the behavior over. I didn't have skills in my life. I didn't have tools like we have. I tried to work the steps, but something wasn't sinking in. It had a bottom. And one of the greatest gifts about this recovery is that there is no bottom. There is no bottom to the power of this program and where my higher power wants to take me to reveal who I truly am. So I was like, I had to hit this bottom. I had to be humble to a point where I was like, I don't know what else to do. I was having suicidal thoughts. I was, you know, not clinically depressed, I would say, and not even to the point where I thought I needed like that kind of a help, but I wasn't myself. Like I couldn't behave. I couldn't show up. I couldn't really function. And so January the 12th, I was brought to my computer that I'm sitting at right now, or not this version. They only last a couple seconds nowadays. And I was typed in OA.org, and I found myself on an OA meeting. And it was a miracle. And I started to go to a bunch of meetings. I was Corona time. I had lost my business. My life was shut down. I was baffled by life. I didn't know how to function. So I started to go to meetings, and I started to hear, do 6 meetings until you know, put a stamp of approval or not, and see if this is for you. And right away I started to look for a sponsor, because I knew somewhere I was graced with the information that I've been trying to do it alone this whole time, and I keep on getting to the same result. And so if I really want to do it this time, I got to do it. So I found an amazing sponsor with whom I'm still with 4 years later. She is an incredible guide in this program. She pushes me to places I do not want to go to. She pushes me to the edge and she is fine with kicking my ass over that cliff because for her, that's her job, you know? But she's always program related and she's just an incredible support. And that's what I've gained. It's like, I can't do this alone. And I've somehow been blessed with a tribe. Like, you guys are all my tribe. You're part of my tribe. I speak to some of you more than the others, and I've never spoken to some of you, and maybe we'll never speak, but you're still there. You're still part of this journey with me. So I take you all with me, and I'm grateful for that support. And I started to, you know, just work the program. And she said, okay, I want you to pick a food plan. And I thought, I cannot do this. I'm out of here. Like, I'm a runner. I'm like, I just want to run away from everything. Whenever someone's mean to me, whenever life gets lifey, let's use that one. I just want to run because I don't want to feel it. It doesn't make sense to want to feel it, you know? And that's what we're called to do. We're called to feel the lifey days, you know, and somehow through the grace of this program, take responsibility for our side of the street. And that's super uncomfortable work, you know, but I just know I got to do it. I have still so much fear about going backwards. And I don't think that my trajectory in life, or I hope one day at a time, it's not about that. I hope that this is the last time I have to learn that lesson. And yet I know nothing about what's waiting for me tomorrow. You know, that's the paradox we're going to always live in. And so I picked a food plan and she's like, I want you to weigh and measure. And I was like, oh my God, what is it about these people who weigh and measure? I had so much judgment about people who weighed and measured. But I'll tell you, the first day I did that, I picked a plan. She even said, find a dietitian if you want to get help. And I was already like, no way, Jose, already one person between me and my food is more than I can handle. So I picked a plan. I followed one day of an abstinent plan. And I was given the gift of serenity that I didn't know was possible. And recently I was talking with a friend about touching upon the gifts of what God is in my life. And I'm starting to realize that there's so many moments in my life recently within these last 4 years where I'm tasting, pun intended, I'm tasting and I'm nourishing myself with touches of this power greater than myself. And it is better than anything I've ever put in my mouth. It's better than any experience because it's like it's stepping into this unknown and it's going, oh my God, there's real gifts out there. There's real magic out there. And so I work through the 12 steps. Some steps I like more than others. Some my sponsor literally had to carry me like a mother cat carries a mother kitten, like by the back of the neck and just dragging me along. And she would be like, sometimes I was so stubborn, right? And I think it's beautiful when someone can call you on their stuff and that you're ready to kind of chuckle about it. And I think that really opens the mind. And I've been graced with a lot of those moments where I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm really stubborn. And, but that's okay because that's allowed here. Like we talk about the pain. We talk about the stuff that gets in the way. We talk about what's clogged us up. We talk about wanting to taste that connection, that power, that grace. And I've been granted the 9 promises. And sometimes I take 3 steps back and one of them gets a little out of balance and then I do the work and, I'm graced again with the 9 promises. So there's no like 100% result that you're going to be able to sit on a spiritual path. Like my spiritual path didn't start necessarily with OA. I hit a rock bottom before, if you can believe it. And I was brought to my knees and I was brought to another thing out there that is not OA related. And then I was brought to OA and I hit the ground again. And so what I realize is that I have to work this program a little bit every day. And sometimes I have to work this program a lot every day. Like the last 48 hours, I have this huge 10th step sheet that I hate. I will admit it, but it is the biggest spiritual resource I have in this program. And I worked 3 of them within the last 48 hours because there was all of this stuff like just coming up and I was feeling I was literally feeling clogged in it again. And when I start to get clogged, I can't feel my higher power. When I can't feel my higher power, I start to spin because I'm just like, what's going on? And so coming into this talk today, I learned a lot because I had to meet a bunch of stuff that I didn't really want to meet. Like I said, I think that's the normal part of our being human. And that's the humbling part. And that's the vulnerable part. And that's the cracking open part. It's like we get to meet something we don't want. And little by little, like, you know, we get to be cracked open to something we can't even imagine gets seen. And so I'm going through these 10 steps because I try to live in 10, 11, 12. You know, that's what they recommend in the program. We do 1, 2, and 3 probably every day. You know, even by coming to this meeting, I'm admitting I'm powerless over food and my life gets unmanageable. And that is a true statement. I hope I know until the day I die. And the 10th step was coming and I was doing this 10th step and I was seeing these new things and I'm like, are you kidding? This is linked to this and this is why I'm still having problems with this. Like, I'm blown away about what is truly revealed. And lately, one of the biggest things that is revealed that I've touched upon is like, who do I want to be in this life? What do I really want? What are my values in life? And like, if you think about it, where I've come from about being, you know, I have to be the most beautiful, I have to be the most talented, I have to have the skinniest waist, which I never had. You know, that was never attained. Not even today is it attained. I have to look a certain way in order to be able to present myself in this life, to the fact of like, I want to work on honesty, I want to work on trust, I want to work on responsibility, I want to work on my own inner connection with my higher power. Like, these are two different worlds apart, and yet they meet, and they meet here. And I think that that's the greatest gift I've been given because I'm asking real questions. I sometimes get drawn into the superficial and I don't expect anything to be done. I had a teacher once say, never expect that anything is done. So I've always had that in the back of my mind. And there's like, you could be working on one layer. That's why it's one day at a time, because we never know when we're going to get hit by the disease. We never know at what capacity we're going to get hit by that disease. And it could be in the next room and doing push-ups, because that's what the ego does. You know, it wants to get strong. It wants to cloud our judgment. It wants to make us fall asleep. And we're all here, in my opinion, as spiritual warriors, working our butts off in a world where this talk is not the normal talk. Like, other than all of you and a few people in my life who I hold so dear to my heart, I don't talk about spiritual awakening and, you know, what I ate and what I didn't eat. And even that is like on the edge of what's allowed.
Gentle 2 minute reminder.
Thanks so much, Gloria.
You're
yeah.
Welcome.
So yeah, I guess the greatest thing about this program is probably being in service, because I get a chance to come out of myself. My self-seeking that's kept me in my weeds of this disease. The biggest go-to is just like, just show up and do something for somebody else, you know? And it's such a godsend, because every time I come grumpy onto these meetings, and even if I share, even if I read something, even if I've been signed up, now I'm one of the secretaries for the 2 weeks, and that took me years to want to commit to. I do not want to go up the ladder in OA because I'm scared. One of my biggest character defects is fear, because I don't think from my little self that I can handle it. And I'm starting to realize that it's not easy. And I'm starting to realize that there's lots of challenges in showing up and being in service, but I survive, you know? And the old me never showed up because she already just succumbed to the fact that I can't do it. That's it. Book, the end, basta, you know? So I can do it. I can do it not alone. I don't do anything alone here. I mean, I'm looking at Judy and Claire, and if these ladies weren't here, I couldn't do it. You know, like they're a part of my higher power coming through. You know, they've got, you know, other people have knowledge, and I ask a bunch of silly questions and I'm shown the ropes. That's all I can say. And I'm a sponsor. I love my sponsees. They teach me. I was just with a sponsor before I came, a sponsee now. And like, I'm humbled. I'm humbled to see the onion peeling, be peeled, and to see someone who is doing the work, because I need to be reminded that if you do the work, you're granted magic, you're granted like a new life, and that's who I am. I've become a new person. So thank you.